Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. So today we have with us Dr. Pamela Ellis. Pamela partners with busy moms to help their teen find a college that feels like home without overpaying. I feel like this is such a great topic because as individuals are going back to school and they're trying to find their way, but also as moms and parents, it's like, how do we know the best route? And so before we dive into that, I would love for you to share a little bit more with our listeners how you got into this. I mean, you have such an interesting background and education has been at the heart of it.
Yeah, absolutely, Rachel. And before I jump in, I want to just remind your listeners of how lucky they are to have you as a host. And just thank you so much for all that you do. And I mean, I love the reflections as well as the interviews that you do and really how you share so authentically. So just thank you so much for that. And for your listeners, to remind them to go out and do their 5-star review before we jump in. My story is one that started out when I was younger and a teacher in grade school told me I would never amount to anything. And when she told me that, rather than receive it, I just felt like, you know something, I'm going to prove her wrong. And it just led me on this journey of doing everything I could to show her that I was going to amount to something. And that led me to applying to all of these colleges all around the country, just applying because I was so afraid that I wouldn't get admitted. And when my mom and I got on the Greyhound bus to go from Memphis, Tennessee out to California, she gave me $70 for the entire school year. And I thought that was going to be great money until I got to the bookstore the next day and my books were $350. But it's just been a series of really trying to really make up for that experience of being told that I wouldn't amount to anything. And when I became a mom, I became obsessed with schooling because I knew that especially having children of color, they too may experience that where they were put down in school. And so that led me to going back to school and really learning all I could about how to help kids with navigating their school journey and into college. And it's been my life's work, really. It really has. And I don't refer to this as my passion, but as my calling, because there isn't anything else that I would be doing than what I'm doing now in terms of education.
I love that. And I love the backstory because, you know, you've had obviously overcome some adversity and some challenges there, especially with your teacher who is supposed to be there to empower you and inspire you to become that best version of you. And those hurtful things can just really put you down. But I love how you took that criticism and negativity and spun it around into being something more and saying, you know what? You don't know who I am. Watch me prove you wrong. And I think that that's such a powerful trait. As we go through life, there's going to be rejection. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be just a lot of trials and tribulations. And it's like, how do we overcome that in such a way to become more confident? And that's the resiliency as we continue this journey. I love that story because I think so many of us can resonate. And I know I had a very similar story, not so much from a teacher perspective, but I was belittled and degraded as a small child and because we couldn't afford a lot and we were very poor. And it was just a place where, oh, well, this other girl can do something better for my daughter and she can afford more. And it was just very shameful. And I think that those are the lessons as kids, you know, as we take these, we're like, what do we do with them? I mean, we're not small children, but we hold that on and say, I'm going to prove something. And that becomes that driving force. And so your story is just, it's profound and relatable as well.
Thank you for that. And even though I feel like I've overcome it after all these years, even today, I feel like I'm using those lessons, especially as an entrepreneur. You're going to be told no almost every day, and there's going to be disappointments. How do you deal with that? How do you stay positive and keep going? So much of it is my faith as well. I've always been a strong woman of faith, and that keeps me grounded in so many ways. I had that then as well through my mother, my family, and tradition of church when I was younger, and carrying that forward, still having that as a solid foundation to be able to persevere. Mm-hmm. You're getting no when you're discouraged in any way, really.
Yeah, I'm a woman of faith as well. And that's really been the backbone of everything. How does that measure up to what the truth says we are?
And, right.
And that's where I get my truth from.
Exactly.
This is great. And, you know, as you're coming up through this journey, you overcome so many obstacles and challenges, and you're just like, now this is your give back moment to help those individuals develop that character, find colleges, get into schools, and not be told no based off of their circumstances or situations, what towns they grow up in, and all the things that feel like they're working against you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, this whole notion of confidence and giving back is embedded in everything that we do, because I see my calling as supporting the students, but supporting the parents as well. And especially as moms, we want so much for our kids and want to see them do better than we did in whatever way that means. And oftentimes when it comes to the whole college admissions process and the teen years, you know, combined, you know, oftentimes teens may pull away. Maybe they are giving their mom the silent treatment, and there's that tension that's there. And so much of my role is being that bridge to support them with communicating better, being on the same page, and relieving that stress for both the mom as well as stress on the teen as they're going through this hugely transitional period, because the teen wants independence. The mom sometimes wants to hold on. And there's that tension there. And so my role is supporting them both through it so that they both enjoy the teen years and enjoy those years before the teen goes away to college. And it's really about supporting them with developing that sense of who they are, that sense of confidence that's so important in terms of the colleges, where they apply, how they write about themselves in their signature story. We talk a lot about confidence in everything we do. And I got this really interesting question yesterday when I was talking with a mom, Rachel. What she asked me was, she asked me if I ever tell kids that they can't apply to a college, you know, like if the college is too selective. And I was like, you know, in all the years we've been doing that, I haven't. And one of the reasons is that I feel like that kid is going to have a sense of regret if they get to the end of senior year and they're wondering, you know, what if I had applied to X college, whatever that is? That's one thing. But the other part of it is when you tell a kid, no, I'm not going to help you apply to that school because I don't think you can get in. What does that do to their confidence? Their confidence is shot. And that's going to have a ripple effect on everything else they do, what they write, how they perform on their test scores, everything. And sometimes it's painful to work with the kid on their essays. And you know that college is so far of a reach for them. I still work with them on it and let them still put their best self forward, because I don't want them to be afraid of rejection, but encourage them, allow them to apply so that they can see what they can and know that at the end of the year, whether or not they've been admitted, they're still proud and feeling accomplished that they did apply.
Yeah. And I think that that's such a smart move there, because it's like, even though, say, as a parent, there's no chance my son or daughter's going to get into the school. You might think that, but don't ever vocalize that, because you never know the chance. And I understand there's like that protective aspect of it. Encourage them to go after it. And whatever it is, that's the path that they'll find. And, you know, as you're looking, you kind of, you help both the parents and the teen to bring in this harmony to where they're working together, that your parents are on your side, gives that child that confidence. And if you can believe that you're going to get in, keep that at the forefront of their mind. That's the outcome they're hoping for. And if it doesn't, well, it's not the end of the road. There's opportunities. I love that.
Yeah. And we make sure that they are, you know, applying to a range of selectivity in terms of the colleges. And some of them, you know, may have a much higher admissions rate than others. And so that helps it to balance out as well. It's not like we're putting all of our eggs in one college basket and it's a college that has a 2% admissions rate. We're not doing that to any, you know, family, but really keeping it balanced at the same time that we're allowing them and encouraging at times for them to, you know, stretch themselves and not be so worried about it, but know that they're putting their best effort forward. And that's the way to do it in all kinds of situations, not to feel like I'm just going to hold back because I don't think I can get in.
Right. And so when you talk about the colleges, how do you find the right college for those kids? For example, I mean, I would never shoot for like a Harvard because there'd be not a chance that I would ever get in. But let's be realistic. So we do, you know, there is some groundwork there to present the right colleges to the students.
Yes, there is. And we have a proprietary framework that we have applied over the years that's really centered around our five factors of fit. And those five factors of fit is really what's helped us with getting those types of results year over year. And the five factors are academic, social, financial, vocational, and cultural fit. And we have a couple of different assessments that we give to students. One of them is a fit assessment that we've developed, a personality assessment. From there, the student does a little bit of research. We give them a clear guidance around how to research the colleges so that they're doing it consistently. And based on that feedback that we get from them, that helps us then with to say, oh, wow, that's what you're looking for in a college. Because sometimes kids don't know exactly because they haven't really experienced them or really thought about all the different things that will matter to them. But we are asking very specific questions and having them look at very specific things about the colleges. And when they're looking at it consistently, that helps them to actually realize, wow, I didn't know that about this school. And I don't know if I want that, you know, or wow, is that the way these kids are? You know, I don't think I would get along with kids like that or be in a culture like that and feel good about it and really enjoy it. And so those conversations really help us with then building it. And so we're taking a combination of their research, our own expertise and knowledge around the colleges, those assessments that we do to then say, here is this universe of colleges that we believe that you would thrive in.
Yes, I love that because it's just really helpful in just helping them find what is right for them. And you know, give or take of the price point of the college. I know that there's so many support tools from funding and grants and loans and all the things. Can you share a little bit more about that too? So that family feels like that's not the sticker shock price, but there's ways to make it affordable.
Absolutely. And, you know, the colleges are very clear about this on their websites, but I don't know if families are really looking at the detail and the fine print on the websites. But when you go there, usually parents will look at that sticker price and they're just like, nope, you're not applying there. But if you look further, you can see what the average tuition paid is. You know, what percent of families are actually full pay? Nationally, it's only about 20% that are full pay. And so the other 80% are getting some monies. And there are so many different opportunities out there, Rachel. I mean, you mentioned some to start with, but what we have found is when a school is a good fit for a student, that's when they're most likely to access, you know, that funding. Because colleges have a sense for whether or not a student is a fit and is going to contribute while they're there and can thrive in their school setting. And those are the students that they offer different scholarships to. And sometimes it could be that you want to do research with a professor. Maybe it's you have a particular major interest and they have funding to support faculty and students in that major. Students bring their own contributions to a college in really interesting ways that we oftentimes don't think about. So like one of them is regional diversity. So for some colleges, you know, maybe they don't have any kids from certain states, or maybe they are a school that's usually known as a regional powerhouse, but they want to be more of a national powerhouse. So they, you know, will provide more scholarships to students who come from further away. And the research actually shows that, especially for girls, when they go further away to college, they do better than if they stay closer to home. And so, you know, if your daughter is open to looking at a school that's a few states away, maybe you find that she actually gets more money than if she goes to school right at home. So things like that, you know, are opportunities. And one of the things that parents don't know is that their teen can start applying for scholarships as early as age 13. There are all kinds of different scholarships that are out there long before senior year. And oftentimes parents don't think about outside scholarships until senior year.
That's interesting to know. So the earlier, the better, because you can get started and start looking at your prospects. And, you know, you made that mention about when females go out of state, they perform better. I had no idea, but it's interesting. And so, of course, as you look at it, like, okay, you're shaping your student or your teen to become a student, and the parents are now getting the education, they're getting the resources, they're being enlightened by all these other tools and assistance along the way. And how do you help bridge that gap from, you know, the parents almost letting go of their children if this is their first child going off to college? Do you have tools for the transition period to help parents and students throughout?
Yeah, we do. And we talk a lot about it all along the way, really. And in our programs, we refer to them as family programs because it's a combination of meetings with the students, but also family meetings to make sure that parents are updated and have a space to ask questions and know what's going on with their teen. One of the things that we realize over the years is that a lot of times students may be meeting with us, but they're not necessarily sharing that and talking about it with their parents. And so sometimes parents are like, oh, I didn't hear about that. Oh, I didn't know you had those goals. But we talk about it in the meeting so that they do know they have a personal, an academic, and a social goal for the year. And I want them to notice it so that they can support them. And we talk about letting go throughout our process because the key approach that we have is that the student owns the process. We're coaching and guiding. And just that alone sends a message to parents. And so we talk about helping but not doing. And that's a part of letting go and learning to let go. We talk a lot about building self-advocacy. And that's letting go when, you know, your child has some, maybe not even a big issue, but when they need to get a recommendation, we will talk with them about how to do that, coach them on doing that. So just things like that sends that message and helps them.
So when would you suggest, or maybe there isn't, a best time, I'm putting that in quotes because we never know, to look for and to apply for colleges? You mentioned about as early as 13, but
the application really doesn't start until senior year, but they are positioning themselves as early as ninth grade because the colleges will see your transcript from ninth grade on. And so that's when I think of the prep actually happening. It starts in ninth grade. And, you know, ninth grade is more about, you know, building the social, the interpersonal skills, learning how to start self-advocating, starting to think about who you are and interests that you have and exploring those interests. And it's really nothing in relation to college per se. We don't start talking about specific colleges until junior year. First deadlines would be fall of senior year.
You have so many resources that talk about that. And so when you talk about the transition period, you're getting the student prepared. They're already looking for prospects. You got the parents prepared. And now it just makes this feel like the seamless approach because they're getting all the information ahead of time. Where I think for so many individuals, it could feel like not knowing what's next, how to navigate this, really as a parent should start educating themselves earlier on, right?
Absolutely. I would say for parents, an ideal time to get educated on this is when they're in middle school. Starting to think about it in ninth grade, you're already going to be a little bit behind, especially from like a course planning standpoint or thinking about activities for them in the summers. So that starts ahead of ninth grade.
Yes. And so when you talk about work-life balance, because you're preparing the student now for, it feels like work. There's a whole schedule. There's a system. There's a
routine. Oh, absolutely. I definitely believe in parents having a life and it not being all about their kids. You know, I have three. And when they were at that age, they only did one or two things. And they pretty much all did the same thing so that I didn't have to do a lot of driving around. Because I do think that it's important that, you know, especially as moms, that we still have time to ourselves. And I know that sometimes may feel so hard to do, but I often talk with moms about that. And, you know, if they're married, having a date night and it's not all about their kid, because that can be very smothering and take away, I think, from their kid understanding also how to take care of themselves and have that self-compassion. And so that's where, you know, that's where my thoughts are around that. And I think one of the biggest myths that's out there when it comes to kids being prepared for college is that they need to do community service and they need to be in all these different activities. And that is so untrue. That's the biggest myth. And if you just let go of that myth and just let your kid do one or two things that they care about and keep it at that, that simplifies things. And that takes away from this feeling that they need to do basketball, they need to find a community service project to give water to kids in Africa, or they need to do, it's like, no, you don't. You really don't. And when it comes to testing, choose one test. You don't need to take both. So just simple things like that and debunking those kinds of myths, I think helps us as moms to be able to put some boundaries and really less stress around this whole phase of the teen years. Making time to have meals together, even if it's only once a week. Talking about gratitude. You know, we do a gratitude practice when we meet with students. And I had this young woman who was a client of ours, and she is now a sophomore in college. And I was talking to her over the break about just what college life has been like for her and the experience of, you know, just everything that led to her going and choosing this college. She was just so thrilled about college and everything that she's done there. And she was like, Dr. Pamela, you know, the thing that's really helped me so much, and I learned it from you, and that was that gratitude practice. And I just thought, wow, that was something to hear from her. Because I remember, Rachel, the first time I did that with her, she was like, what is this? You know, why are you asking me that? You know, it was, I mean, it wasn't in a rude way, but it was kind of rude. But I'm just like, I'm the adult, okay? So I'm going to just keep going with this. I know what I'm doing. But yeah, it makes a difference for just kind of calming the environment, and also makes a difference for building resilience in terms of thinking about the whole notion of balance and integration in terms of you as a professional, life, being a mom, having kids, all of those things coming together, especially through the teen years.
Yes, totally makes sense. And it's almost like if you can minimize your own stressors and overwhelms as a parent, then that's something your child will pick up on as well and say, oh, that's cool. My parents are cool. It's like, they're not stressing, so why am I stressing? Right. And I love the gratitude practice, and especially as getting the students involved, because you were teaching her that valuable lesson, and that's to be in that present moment. And it's just, it's such a powerful tool that so many people might not think. It's like, oh, I just have to write down some things that I'm thankful for. That attitude of gratitude is really what's going to shape how they're going to experience that school, the school year, and so on. And it's also a great tool even for the parents. Now that there's this distance, instead of focusing on, oh my gosh, what's my son, what's my daughter doing? It now minimizes where they could just focus on, look at the free time that I'm getting back. I'm trusting that my child is safe there. And they know, because they're building that relationship, this minimizing that stress. I think what you're doing is incredible and so needed, because it's not just about the student and it's not just about the parent. It's about that relationship.
Really is. And you want that relationship to stay strong and really be in a strong place to continue growing with confidence once they're away. Because when you have that foundation that you've been building throughout the years when they're at home, you're less worried about them making bad choices or decisions that have negative consequences. You can be assured that they're going to carry those good values and really show up and thrive when they're there.
Yeah. And it's almost like the student is no longer the child, but you look at them like a young man and a young woman. What a beautiful life cycle, right? Witness the growth. And I think that as a parent, you want to be so proud of that and give them that space and freedom to really grow, thrive, and develop into the character and the human that you have really the expectation and have grown them into.
Absolutely.
I love that. I love that. It's just, you know, I'm looking back and I just kind of get a smile on my face thinking about my own journey. And like I said, it feels like a lifetime ago, but as a student, when you're with your parents, or as a teenager, you're with your parents, but then that time away creates this different dynamic in the relationship. And now I'm not just my mother's daughter or my father's daughter, but I'm a young woman that has embraced life, and they get to witness, you know, it's kind of like that analogy of like baby bird flies and you're a proud mama, right? Like, look at my son, look at my daughter, they're out there soaring and like, I love that. And
absolutely. Oh my,
What you are doing, like I said, is so needed, but it's empowering that you can hit both facets from the teens to the parents and helping streamline the system for education and giving that confidence and building that resiliency. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing is beyond just providing that gap. You're shaping right. the individual. So I commend you on the work you're doing.
Thank you so very much, Rachel.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, how can people learn more about this? Because you have so many resources and just this wealth of information. This has been your life's work. I mean, you are the education doctor. This is you're patching and you're bridging and you're fixing and you're doing all the things to really have that seamless experience.
Yeah, absolutely. They can connect with me on LinkedIn at Dr. Pamela Ellis, DrPamelaEllis. And I would love to connect with them. And I do have a gift, which is the College Confidence Blueprint. And so they can message me. It's a roadmap for them through high school, as well as a communication guide, so that they can talk with their teen about college without nagging.
Thank you so much. Of course, all that will be in the show notes below. So be sure to give Dr. Pamela a follow. And if today's episode resonates, let her know. And if you can't tell, she is a wealth of information and she is open for all your questions and wants to make sure that you as a parent have that confidence to know that your child is supported and have all the tools and resources they need to go out there and make a difference in the world. So thank you so much for being our guest today. If this conversation stirred something in you and you're ready to go deeper into who you are, I want to invite you to download my free I Am Enough guide. It's a space to pause, reconnect with your truth, and remember, you're already enough. You can grab it by clicking the link in the show notes below. And if you're in a season of rediscovery or you're walking through your own becoming journey, check out I Am Becoming. It's a six-week devotional and journal experience that's helped so many women reconnect with their identity and faith. So be sure to click the link in the show notes below. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.